Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Well, thanks so much, and welcome to Dave Sunday. Did you know Dave Reardon was supposed to be speaking this morning? He couldn't make it, so they got Dave Molyneux. And now, tonight, you got Dave Odd. Now, it's got a meaning. Have a look. Dave. D is for divine. A is for appointments. V is for verifying. And E for eternity. So you people today are so blessed that your eternity is being verified. And we must have another Dave Sunday sometime, I reckon, Andy. That's good. I just love preparing. I love then bringing a word, because I know that God just uses different people in different ways to show that there are many different aspects of God. Now, let's go to a scripture in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29. And, excuse me, I'm sure quite a few of you have read this. You've looked at it and you've thought, oh yeah, that'd be right. Because Jeremiah is prophesying and he's saying this. He's saying, look, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Now, I wonder if there are any of you here tonight, you're saying, yeah, right. But it is right. See, God's hand is on your life. It's on my life. And his hand has been there from the very start. We sometimes lose track of that. But I want you to know that this word was brought to the nation of Judah when they were taken captive into Babylon. Now Israel had been promised a land flowing with milk and honey. All they had to do was to obey God, stick with him, stick with what he was saying, and they would really prosper. Well, they forgot about God. They started obeying false gods. They started worshipping. They started offering their children as sacrifices. And God gave them warning after warning after warning until he'd had enough. And he said, okay, you won't listen, so off you go into captivity. So here they are, sitting down, scratching their heads. We've been promised all this stuff. You see, as Christians, we read all the good things that can happen, and yet bad things start happening. And we start thinking, oh, you're right, God's forgotten me. But he hasn't. See, he says to this nation who are suffering, he says, hey, I know the thoughts I've got towards you. What do you think the thoughts of God are towards you tonight? Are you optimistic or are you pessimistic? You think he's forgotten you and just thrown you on the scrap heap? Nah, had enough of you. No. I know the thoughts I've got towards you. And listen, they're pretty good thoughts. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Are there any here tonight? You're not quite sure. Does my future hold good stuff? Or am I just going to go grinding it out, grinding it out? Do you have hope? Hope of something really good coming? Well, I want to tell you tonight, yes, you do have. You do have a future. You do have a hope. We all have. And why I can say this is that we are His, we are His children, and He knows those thoughts. So just think of David, King David. He went through a lot. He had many times where he was really down. And yet I've chosen three scriptures from Psalms that David affirms that God's hand is on him right from the start. Have a look at Psalm 22, verses 9 and 10. But you are He who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breasts. I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb. You have been my God. David could say that despite going through all the hardships that he went through. Remember Saul trying to kill him? He had to run away and hide. And here he is, a guy anointed to be king. And yet it must have been so far from his thoughts because Saul was after him. And he only just escaped time and again. David faced family problems. He sinned grievously. And yet he comes back and he says, "No, God, your hand is on my life and has been from the start." Psalm 71. Same bloke. And he affirms this thought. Psalm 71, verse 6. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are He who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. Hey, he could have skited of quite a lot of stuff. He's a pretty powerful king. He had tremendous victories. And yet, what does he say? My praise will be continually of you. And one more from David, Psalm 139. Verse 13, for you form my inward parts, you cover me in my mother's womb. Do you believe that? Do you believe that even before you were born, God knew you and His hand was upon you? As I look back on my life, I can see that pattern so clearly. Even before I knew God, even before I made any commitment to Him, His hand was on my life. Now bear with me as I just give you a few personal testimonies. I was born in London, 1942. So if you're any good at maths, you know how old I am. And guess what was happening in London in 1942? They're trying to wipe the place out. Bombs dropping. Many people killed. At that time I had two sisters and a brother. They were sent to the country. But Mum had to stay in London because the medical service was not real good where they might have sent her. And so here I was, little baby, in the hospital. Where I was born was bombed. And Mum had managed to get us down into a bomb shelter. And so here I am. Could have so easily been otherwise. But as I look back, I think, God, even from the start you had your hand on me. You didn't want me to die because you had work for me to do. Think of your own circumstances. Try to think of how God has shown. Now, from London, we migrated to Australia. I was 7 years old. And I just look back on that and I praise God. Because then I was able to get a good education, went to Melbourne Uni, did a commerce degree, trained in accounting and economics, trained as a teacher. All this before I knew God, before I knew what was going to happen. And guess what? I end up in Papua New Guinea doing what? Teaching. Needing what? Accounting, because I had to be in charge of a couple of organisations. Knowing how to get organised so that things wouldn't turn pear-shaped. And God uses... Did I really choose those subjects or did God choose them? Was that just one of those coincidences? As I look back, no, there are too many coincidences. My dad was a solid plasterer. Now that is, for those of you who don't know, you've got a brick wall and he plasters over the wall so you wouldn't know it wasn't plaster sheet. And so during the vacations of uni, I used to work with him. Didn't like it all that much, but I got some money out of it, so I worked with him. What's the use of that? Because again, as we landed up in Papua New Guinea, I had to do a heap of building, had to know how to order stuff, had to know what to do, had to know what buildings were required. And so there was that practical aspect. So by migrating to Australia, I saw God's hand there. And, praise God, Beryl was here waiting for me. Do you believe God has somebody for you? I believe he has. And he had somebody for me. And I could go into a lot of detail there, but... Now, this part of my testimony might be hard to believe as you see me hobbling around a little bit and not quite able to do a lot of running, although I do run around the block 3 times every morning, then I kick it back under the bed and I've done my exercise for the day. But I was mad keen on footy. In fact, it was only footy that kept me at school for so long. And the setup those days a little bit different, but we had these underage carnivals where people from the country would come into Melbourne, we'd play games. And from that, as I represented the area where I was from, the Wimmera, from that I was chosen to try out for the Victorian underage team. Got to the last 40, but at that stage I was injured, so I couldn't really show much during the trials. No, that was okay, got over that injury, came down to Melbourne, started training with Melbourne. And just before I got a game with Melbourne, I injured my knee. This one here. One of those stupid things. I mean, you watch footy and you see people bashing each other and going on and somebody landing. No. I was just running straight for the ball, nobody near me, and my knee just collapsed under me. Right? I wonder if you were here to hear Mike last week talking about his escapades in athletics. You see, God's hand is on you even there. Because had I gone on with that footy, and yeah, I believe I would have been good enough because I was in the last 40 in the state. Had I gone on, I would have been caught up in the footy culture. Drinking, giving so much time, not having time for considering anything else. But no, that was done with. I believe God took me out of that. Now, I'm not saying that God injured me. But what I'm saying is his hand was on me even then. He knew that I shouldn't be in that footy culture. And, well, that was it. So, no more footy. I had to concentrate on my teaching. So, yep, concentrated on teaching. Went to Ararat High School. A year later, to Stawell High School. A year later, down to Geelong, Belmont High School. Guess what? I landed up, buried myself, bought a house next to a Christian. And this guy, he was a persistent guy. Hey, Dave and Beryl, how about coming to church with me? Nah, not interested, sorry. A couple of weeks later, oh, come on, you should come to church with us. Well, he just wore us down. Yeah, righto, Dennis, we'll come. And then we started going to church. Was that a coincidence that we ended up next to this guy who just wouldn't give up? I don't think so. I think God's hand was there. So while we were at church, churchgoers, I might stress, not, hadn't given our hearts to the Lord at that stage, but we went on a couple of work groups, just like the group that went to Amari. We went to Fiji first, and then we went to Papua New Guinea. While we were in Papua New Guinea, oh, they found out that we were both teachers. Hey, we got a real need in Papua New Guinea. Would you come? No. Not interested. They persisted. And in the end, we said, okay, we'll go. Have you ever heard of unsaved missionaries before? Well, we were. We were churchgoers. We were doing good works. And we thought, that's enough. That's fine. But a Papua New Guinean guy knew better. And through an incredible, I'd say courage, he got us to open our eyes and to see God, to see Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, and then we were saved. Now, was God's hand on our lives?
Yes.
Sending us to Geelong next to a guy who wouldn't give up, putting in front of us these work groups, which, you know, we thought was pretty good. Oh, man. No, they're not coincidences. That's God's hand. Now, I'm speaking like this because I want you to look back at your life and just see where his hand is on you. What's he done to draw you somewhere? What's he done to make sure that you're in that position that he wants you to be in? I'm going to give one last thing. I'm the sort of guy that when I go for something, I go for it. I've never been half-hearted in my life. And I really do go. So I think if I'd ever started drinking alcohol, I'd probably be an alcoholic. Because that's just the sort of personality I have. But as a teenager, living in Stawell, we lived next door to an alcoholic family. Remember, this is before I knew the Lord. Lived next door to this alcoholic family, and I could see every weekend kids being chucked out of the door, pots and pans flying out, screaming, fighting, going on. And as a teenager, not knowing the Lord, I just said, well, if that's what alcohol does, I'm never going to touch it. And I never have. Now, I'm not saying blanket, don't touch it. God's hand on my life, don't touch it. Because there would have been danger there for me. For you, I don't know. But all through, you know how teenagers grow up, you go to parties. People used to really rib me. Come on, Dave. It won't hurt you to have one drink. I'm not drinking. I told you, when I go for something, I go for it. So when I went for no drinking, I went for no drinking. Nobody could persuade me to do otherwise. God's hand on my life. Now, that's enough of me. Now come back to all of us here. Isaiah made an incredible prophecy. Isaiah chapter 61, an incredible prophecy. And it's the prophecy that Jesus took up when he was starting his ministry. Do you remember the story of him being in the synagogue, given the scroll, and he opens it to Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. Let's have a look at it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now let's go to that next slide, please, Anna. I've just picked out those parts that Jesus said, this is what I'm going to do. Now, has he done any of these for you? Has he touched your life? Have you heard good tidings? Well, I did when I thought I was doing good, being a good works guy. Didn't really know that Jesus had died for me. Let me tell you how those good tidings came about. I was in front of the school that Beryl and myself were operating in Papua New Guinea. It was Easter, and we'd organised an Easter camp. I'm up the front conducting the singing. Again, that might surprise you, but I was. And a guy comes in up the back, and he sort of beckons, come here, Dave. Oh, yeah, all right. So I said to all, there were about 300 students and staff there, I just got to go and talk to this guy. He wants to talk to me. And he came and he said, Dave, you know the guy that you invited to come and speak at this camp? Yeah. His name is Ben. He said, well, on the way down we had an accident, and Ben has been killed. He can't be speaking tonight. I love this man. He was so good. He said, well, you'd better go down the front and tell everybody. So I had to go down the front of the meeting and say, look, not good. Ben's not coming tonight because he's had an accident. Well, the whole meeting erupted. 300 of us crying our eyes out. It went on for about 10 minutes. And Ben walked into the front of the meeting, and he stands up in front of us and he says, thank you for your tears. Did you ever think Jesus died for you, and have you cried for him? Oh man, it hit me like a ton of bricks. So then I started crying for Jesus. You see, this guy, I told you before when I'd started my testimonies, this guy was courageous. He had put on a drama. Now, I guess he could have taken offence. I guess he could have said, yeah, that's not the way to get people into the kingdom of God. In fact, some of the staff said that to me, and I said, look, I don't care. I know that before I wasn't born again. I know that now I am. Jesus brings that. Preach good tidings to the poor. Any poor here tonight? Jesus died for you. Doesn't matter who you are. Then he heals the brokenhearted. Are you brokenhearted over something? Many people are. It's hard to get over. But when you know Jesus, he can heal that. Liberty to the captives. Oh man, I was captive to anger. Absolute captive. You can be captive to many things. Alcohol, cigarettes, gambling, pornography, it goes on. But Jesus can bring liberty to captives. He opens prison to those bound. He proclaims the acceptable year of the Lord. The day of vengeance. I love that one, the day of vengeance. You see, there's some people who've dudded me. But God always says, not your job to get them back. The day of vengeance will come. If they don't turn and repent, well, they'll get theirs. They will. You've been dudded? Are you really angry that somebody has done you wrong? Well, that's God's work. Let him do it. He does it better than any of us could. Okay, he comforts those who mourn. He consoles those who mourn. There are people among us who are mourning. We heard of the family who lost a loved one. We hear so many times of people who have reason to mourn. And sometimes that's the loss of a business. Doesn't necessarily have to be a death or anything like that. Then he'll give us beauty for ashes. I love that one. I know before I knew the Lord, there was no beauty at all. Just ask Beryl. She'll tell you. But now, am I beautiful? Possibly not on the outside, but inside, it's beautiful. I love it. Because I love the thought that all that rotten stuff is gone. It's beautiful in there because Jesus has made it beautiful. The oil of joy to those who mourn. A garment of praise instead of heaviness. I tell you what, if ever I start feeling heavy, I start praising. And the heaviness just... it's good. Now, once all that's done, we're called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Now, all of that's good, isn't it? But I'm speaking about God's hand on our lives, God's hand on your life. Do you identify with any of those? Has he done something to you to bring that joy where there wasn't joy? To bring comfort when there was none? To bring hope where you had no hope. Whatever. Identify with that. And let's go to verse 4 now, because so many people read those first three verses because that's what Jesus did. But let's have a look at what it says in verse 4. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. And they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Who are they? Have a look at the list. Who are they? that lot. You see, you and I have God's hand on our lives so that we can bring glory to Him. Nothing is wasted. As I say, I look back on my life. I've tried to give you some glimpses of those things which I see as God's hand preparing me for what He had up in the future. He doesn't call you and then mock you by not, by you not being able to do what He's called you to do. He's called you because He's equipped you. And if you're missing anything at the moment, He'll fix it. He'll fix it. So what do? They, those people who God has touched, they rebuild old ruins. Any of those in your life? Yeah. Or do you know of some people whose life seems to be in ruins? They'll raise up desolations. Oh man, a thing that touches me so much. One guy in New Guinea came to me and said, "Dave, I want to go to Bible college." "Oh, good. Are you a Christian?" "No." "Why do you want to go to Bible college?" "Oh, I've heard good things." I said, "Okay." So I told him the gospel. "You want to give your heart to the Lord?" "Yep." Just like that. Came to Bible college. And man, he starts getting on fire. And he tells me, he said, "Look, if I hadn't come here, I'd be dead by now." He was a member of a gang, fighting every day, not fighting just with fists, with knives, with guns. And here's this guy, and he goes out and he confronts his gang members. See, raising up desolations. His life was desolate. There was no hope. But in God, it can be. Repair ruined cities. You may feel in your life there are things which are ruined. But let me tell you, God uses those. He uses those. I can counsel people on many areas. But God called me to develop a divorce recovery course. And it was good. But once a couple who had been divorced, they'd been divorced separately and then married, once they got into the divorce recovery program, it just took off. Because God used what they had been through to then minister to other people. Whatever you've been through, whatever you're going through, not a waste. It's not a waste. God will use it. He'll use it to, excuse me, to rebuild those ruined cities. He'll use it to raise up the desolations in your life and in others. Don't ever think His hand is off you. So many people get into despair. You're going through a hard time. No, God's forgotten me. No, He hasn't. He never does. What was the first scripture? "I know the thoughts I have for you. They're good thoughts. Thoughts of peace. Thoughts of hope." Now, I'd like the worship team to come, please. And we're going to sing a song. And it says, "I'm a child of God. I am who He says I am. Not what the world says I am." See, when I walk down the street, what do people see? Just an old bloke hobbling along with a stick. And it doesn't look like there's much life there. There's still plenty in there, I can tell you. If I believe that, then I'm on the scrap heap already. You see, we hear about recycling, don't we? Oh, tearing our hair out. The Chinese won't take our waste. What are we going to do with it? Just throw it away. Put it into landfill. God's not in that business. He's in the recycle business. Life's given you a hard deal. You feel as though you've been thrown away. No. God's hand is on your life. And I would urge you, think back. Go through some of those stages in your life and recognise His hand. It's always there.